This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning, bright and early. March the 9th, 2021. Do we have Rick here this morning? Rick, you there?
Rick is here. They didn't shut the machine off.
What a treat. Cassie, I mean, my machine goes down for like 90 seconds a week ago. They make a promo out of it. Yours goes down for 30 minutes, and it's like, there's no issues. It's fine. Rick can do whatever Rick wants to do.
I'm very sensitive. You know that. They don't want me to shut down. You know what I'm saying? Like, if all of a sudden now I'm hearing promos, criticizing me after a game yesterday. The emotional toll. I can't take much.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. Not as good as Dak Prescott, but it's a good morning for me.
I don't think anybody's as good as Dak Prescott.
Not at all. Not at all.
$160 million, huh?
$160 million, not to mention the fact that he's getting $75 million by the end of the 2021 regular season.
And he'll be a free agent at 31.
That's exactly what he wants. I mean, we were talking about this with Santi before the show because he's the Dallas Cowboys fan on the show, the greatest NFC East troll we've ever seen in the history of Twitter. But I mean, when you start looking at what this deal was and what it, you know, could have been if they just got this done last season. I mean, last year apparently they offered 5 years around 175, right?
Right.
This year he gets the 160. But I mean, if you added the franchise tag last year to what he ends up getting in this deal, I mean, it's a little bit more money, but as far as guarantees are concerned, I mean, it ends up almost being identical deal-wise, like for what the actual guaranteed money ends up being, fully guaranteed money. Because he's fully guaranteed, in all honesty, when you look at the deal and break it down, he's fully guaranteed essentially $126 million.
Yes.
He's getting $75 million in year one, guys.
It's crazy.
$75 million, which is a record. I mean, it's unbelievable. A $66 million signing bonus, which is going to go a long ways in the state of Texas because there is no state income tax. Like, it's an unbelievable deal for Dak Prescott. Good on him for being able to hold his ground and get paid his worth. Like, the guy knew what he was worth to the Cowboys franchise. He knew where the franchise was at, and he wasn't willing to back down. He didn't give an inch to Jerry Jones, and he won the negotiation.
He did.
There's no other way to look at it now. It's not like Jerry Jones loses because he doesn't have to go through a rebuild and trying to figure out who his quarterback is after the 2021 season. So I think this is a situation where the Dallas Cowboys are in good shape. They got the $15 million in cap relief because the cap for Dak Prescott goes down from $37 million on the tag to $22 million or thereabouts. So I feel like they have some money, some flexibility to address some needs in free agency if they need to when that starts next week. But, I mean, let's just call this what it is, guys. The Dallas Cowboys are in the driver's seat for the NFC East primarily because they have the best quarterback in the NFC East locked up in Dak Prescott.
I don't know that I agree with that driver's seat. I mean, he's the best quarterback. I'm not going to doubt that. But when he was there last year, they were not great. They moved the football, but they were 2-3 in the five games he was there. He got one playoff win in his 5 years. He's the best quarterback, but I don't know that they're head and shoulders the best team.
Quarterback has a playoff win in the NFC East other than Dak Prescott? Help me out.
Well, but you're not comparing him to these other quarterbacks in this division, are you?
Well, I mean, quarterback is the most important position in the sport. And if you have one that's a guy that's considered a top 8 to 10 player at the position, then you have a considerable advantage versus the other teams in your division. Washington doesn't know who the hell their quarterback is going to be. The Giants don't know if they have a quarterback in Daniel Jones. The Eagles don't know if they have a quarterback in Jalen Hurts. Hell, they don't even know if they got a head coach. So, I mean, when we start talking about the NFC East or the NFC East, whatever you want to say about it, like I clearly feel like Dak Prescott gives you more stability as a franchise, and that gives you the advantage. When the betting opens up this, when it comes to the futures for these teams, the Dallas Cowboys will be the favorites to win the NFC East.
Yeah, maybe so, but so what? I mean, and you're right. He's the best quarterback in this division, and it's not even a question right now. Washington has nothing. Yeah. Giants, we have no idea. In Philadelphia, I guess they're going to stick with Jalen Hurts, which God knows what's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we saw – listen, this guy's been in the NFL for 5 years, and he's a very good quarterback. He's got one playoff win. He threw for almost 5,000 yards 2 years ago. They were 8-8. They had a huge game in Philadelphia. They lost that game. Last year was their quarterback for five games. They were 2-3. They should have been 1-4. So I think for me it's two different arguments. Is he the best quarterback in this division? It's not even a debate. He is. Are they the best team in this division? To me, that's a debate right now.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. They went 4-7 with backup quarterbacks with Dak Prescott, and two of those losses were one possession games, the Pittsburgh game and then the regular season finale against the Giants. And another one was the disaster that was Ben DiNucci in Philly on Sunday night. So you can't tell me that Dak Prescott would not have made the difference in those games and potentially led the Cowboys to wins rather than those being L's. Now, I get that those are hypotheticals, but since Dak Prescott has become the Cowboys quarterback, the floor for this team is 8-8. I mean, they started 2-3 through the first five in 2017, and that season they ended up being 9-7. They missed the playoffs, but I mean, still, when we start talking about this division, I think the Cowboys are clearly a cut above the rest, primarily because of Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, just look at the NFC East for a quick second, right? Like, I mean, you're talking about your New York Giants, and we'll get into them later. I mean, we still have questions about Daniel Jones, right?
Lots of them. And
on top of the fact that we went through their salary cap situation this morning, I mean, where the money's being spent. I mean, they have, what, $13 million to spend this offseason?
Right now, yes.
Right now, which is, I mean, $6 million below league average.
They'll have more, though.
But yeah, they have things to do. I mean, you got Tomlinson you got to get done. You'd like to. You got Leonard Williams you want to get
done. They're not going to be able to keep Tomlinson. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't see that happening.
Which is amazing with a quarterback on a rookie deal.
It really is. It's very upsetting, and it goes back to Gettleman. But go ahead with your point.
Okay, and then Washington, we don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. Right? I mean, it seems like, I mean, I guess best case scenario for them would be, I mean, maybe trading for Sam Darnold right now at the moment. So Sam Darnold could be their starting quarterback, which is fine, but I know he's not at the level of Dak Prescott. The Eagles are a mess. I mean, look what Carson Wentz has cost them on their cap this year as opposed to what Dak Prescott's making.
What is he, 32 or something?
He's $33 million against their cap,
crazy.
Dead money, to not even play. So they're going to roll with Jalen Hurts, and you wonder why they're a mess. I mean, the owner's the one making the decisions over there. And now you got Dallas. And Jerry Jones has no interest in not trying to win right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, talent-wise, I mean, their defense isn't great, no, but I mean...
The defense stunk. You say not great. Their defense was one of the worst you've ever seen in the history of football last season.
But with Dak Prescott, their offense has a chance to be elite.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, as far as position, like, as far as groups in the NFC East, I mean...
Washington's defense. And Dallas's offense.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, they're right now, I don't care. I mean, you're going to have, obviously, Giants bias. But right now, the Dallas Cowboys are the team to beat in the NFC East.
You want to say they're the team to beat? I guess. I don't know.
What do you mean, you guess?
Right now, the
starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins is Taylor Heinicke. Well, what are we talking about?
Well, let's wait and see how this plays out. I mean, there's a full offseason to go. And I'm not arguing
right
that
now.
They have the best quarterback. Well, but it's not going to end right now. I promise you that Washington doesn't go into the season with Taylor Heinicke as their starting quarterback.
Okay, so it's an upgrade to Sam Darnold. Do you love that?
Do I love it? No.
Well, okay. Who's better, Dak Prescott or Sam Darnold?
You're arguing a point that I agree with. Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in this division. I don't know that I can absolutely say that the Cowboys are the best team in this division.
So who's
right
the
now?
Best team in the division, Dave? If it's not
know.
The Cowboys, then who is it?
I don't know.
If you were picking the team that you think is going to win the NFC East today, who would it be?
I think it's completely wide open. I have no idea.
He wants to pick the Giants. That's why.
I don't think the Giants are any better than anybody else. I think Washington is good. I think Philadelphia is the unknown. I think Dallas has the potential to be the best team. But I don't think that it's clearly Dallas right now.
Is this
you know, we forget that this guy has been the quarterback for years. He has one playoff win, one.
Which is one more than any other quarterback in the division right now. So, I mean, I don't know, Dave. I guess I guess when I look at the Cowboys, yeah, there are some things they have to fix on the defensive side of the ball. They got to address the interior of their defensive line. They got to address their secondary, specifically the corners. Offensively, they need interior offensive linemen. But the pieces are there for the Dallas Cowboys to be a playoff team, to win this division.
But, Chris, we've said that every year. I remember you saying last year, if they don't go to the NFC Championship game, that this was a failed season for them. And if he didn't get hurt, there was no way they were going to the NFC Championship game last year.
No, I would probably say that they weren't, Dave. But I still contend that if Dak Prescott had been healthy, that this team would have had an opportunity to win the division. Hell, they had an opportunity to win the division in Week 17 without him. So, I mean, just not having Dak Prescott for 11 games – that was tough, but I think that showed Jerry Jones the true worth of his quarterback. And when you reintroduce that guy and you show that you're committed to him long term, I think that sends a message to your locker room about the identity of this team moving forward. And that's why I think it was important for Jerry Jones to get this deal done, not just for the cap relief, but also to send a message to the team that we're not rebuilding, that we're going to try to be competitive, we're going to try to be at a championship level in 2021. Now, do I think that they'll be there? No. Do I think they'll win a playoff game this season? I don't. But I do think that this will be a team that gets into the tournament. I do. I think that Dak Prescott makes that much of a difference with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, they better, though, right? I mean, you say you think that's a team that's going to get into the postseason. They better get into the postseason.
I guess, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, you'd like to believe that they better get into the postseason. They should definitely win the NFC East. But, I mean, what was the other choice for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys right now?
I don't think they made a mistake.
Rebuild.
Jerry Jones is too – if Jerry Jones, like Michael Kay said, he's not buying green bananas. Like, he's trying to win now. And, I mean, you can say what you want about Dak Prescott. Is he one of the, you know, five best quarterbacks in the NFL? No, I don't think he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. But I will tell you this. He might be one of the best leaders in the NFL.
Yes.
He's terrific. Listen, this is not a knock on Prescott. I just don't look at this as the Cowboys are clear-cut. Are they the favorites to win the division? Probably so. I'd probably pick them right now if I had to pick them to win the division. If Washington lands a quarterback that I like, I think you could look at them. I mean, their defense is really, really good. And I think the Giants are going to take a step this year. I don't know what Philadelphia is going to be. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Dallas now. They better win this division.
Listen, man, the Dallas Cowboys got to get it done at some point. But I think with signing Dak Prescott, you give yourself several seasons. You kind of extend the window that you currently already have, and you see if you can get it done with this core of players. Like, that's the value of being able to sign him to a long-term deal versus just him playing on the franchise tag and then walking away in free agency in 2022. I think that's one of the things that Jerry Jones looked at. Like, did he have the stomach to go through a rebuild and to try to search to find the next franchise quarterback? And clearly he didn't. Dak Prescott realized that, which is why he didn't give in terms of, you know, relinquishing any leverage that he had in these negotiations. And he got the deal that he was looking for all along. He wanted to slot in with Patrick Mahomes-like money. That's exactly what he got. He's the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Tell him to bring me my money.
And both sides get what they want. I mean, Jerry Jones wanted a five-year deal last year. It ends up being, I mean, when you include last year, which was there's a franchise tag, it ends up being a five-year deal. So both sides are happy. It's got a manageable cap number. They can still make some moves, try to address some needs, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The problem really with the Cowboys is the guys that they paid have not performed at the level that they're being paid. That's one of the big problems right now with the Dallas Cowboys.
The offensive line is legendarily bad, and offensively they're good, but something's been missing with that team. Right? I don't know if you want to say it's coaching or McCarthy or whatever the case may be. Something has been missing with that team.
No, I don't disagree with you. But, I mean, again, I mean, it's a situation where, in all honesty, I mean, should they maybe have considered with, you know, where their offensive line is at? I mean, you had, you know, your center retires. Tyron Smith can't stay healthy. Like, the offensive line is breaking down.
They're getting old.
They're getting old.
Yeah.
Would the smart move be to probably, you know, start to break this thing down a little bit and try to rebuild? Yeah, it probably is. But Jerry Jones is not interested in doing that right now. He's all in to try to win now. Does this make them want to? Are they one of the best teams in the NFC?
No.
No, they're not one of the best teams in the NFC.
But a year ago right now, we were sitting here saying if they don't go NFC Championship game, this is a failure. I say NFC Championship game and Cowboys right now, and you'd be like, no way. That is not the caliber of club this is.
Yeah, Dave, but I didn't think we foresaw the injuries that the Dallas Cowboys were going to go through. We didn't think that Tyron Smith would be a shell of himself. We didn't think that Dak Prescott would get hurt in the fifth game of the season. Like, those weren't things that we saw. And we knew that this team was going to be driven by their offense. If their offense wasn't elite, then the Dallas Cowboys were going to struggle because they were retooling things on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they were installing a new system. They were going through breaking in a new young secondary. Like, there were going to be some growing pains on defense, and that got exposed when you didn't have an offense that can control time of possession and dictate the complexion of the game. So I just think that the Dak Prescott injury compounded so many other issues that were already there. But now that you got this guy back under contract, it's going to change the way that this team looks in 2021 in comparison to what we saw in the second half of 2020.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How did Cass feel yesterday? Like, as the day wore on, that you woke her at like 4:58 to come save you with your Comrex issues.
She was fatigued.
Yeah,
on top of the fact
that,
on top of the fact too, my mother-in-law Deb left yesterday too.
Oh, so you guys are flying solo here now.
Flying solo. Then, I mean, another first star for Cassie. She had to go pick up the food for the visiting team for the bus ride home.
Did she drive to Pennsylvania for the food?
No, she did not.
No. How far did you send her? Was it a test of love? How far did you send her?
No, it was close. No, it was right there. I sent her over to Vincent's, which is not far at all. Well, Old Country Road.
So hang on a second now. You pick up food for the visiting team? Is that?
I bought them food, yeah.
You really are something else, huh?
Well, listen, they did us a solid. They came all the way from Wilkes-Barre, and we tried to get the game earlier so they wouldn't hit traffic on the way home because it's already a long bus ride. Couldn't do it. So I said, hey, listen, I understand it's going to be a long trip. You're going to get smashed with traffic. Let me pick up. You don't have to be running around for food for the kids. And I'm not. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is with some of these teams and these kids. It's like, oh, what are we going to eat after the game? They like stop at like a gas station and the kids get like chips and stuff for post-game meal. I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. You did us the solid. I'm going to get you nice chicken parm dinners.
Nice.
We'll have them waiting for you at the rink. Enjoy your ride.
You really are a gentleman. Now, does this come out of the DiPietro fund or does this come out of Portland's fund?
Not Portland. It's actually Portland. No, this came out of Rick DiPietro's pocket.
Really?
This is what you do. This is what undefeated teams do, is they take care of people.
You're a good guy. How about
this?
This doesn't surprise you, though, right? That he digs deep into his pockets and takes out money to pay for everyone's food?
No, I expect it, because that's the kind of teammate he was. I'm sure that's the kind of coach he was going to be.
I'm such a jackwagon too. So remember last year I showed you guys the MVP chain I had made?
Yes.
For the big, yeah, it was awesome, right? So we didn't really get to use it this year because of, kids can't, some of them aren't going to school, they're doing home learning, and the whole thing was just a mess, right? So we didn't use the chain this year. So I reached out to the jeweler and I said, hey, can you give me a price for, I'd like to get, mini versions of that made so I can give them away as, gifts to the seniors. And he's like, no problem, I'll run the numbers.
How much was it?
Well, he texts me back. He's like, you want this for yourself? Or I was like, no, I was hoping to give him his gifts. He's like, not sure it's going to work. I was like, wow, what's the damage? He's like, well, right around $2,900.
What?
And that's without the necklace. That's just the pendant.
So you didn't do it, I would imagine, right?
No. She'd punch me right in the face.
$3,000.
That's just for the pendant. That's not even a necklace.
A lot of money. I don't know. You got deep pockets, though. You're buying chicken parms for the other team.
Yeah, I got them. I mean, listen, we have multiple seniors. You're talking about, I think we got 5 or 6 seniors. That's a serious investment.
Those poor seniors, by the way. Three games in their senior season. Ugh.
Well, not even that, dude. We have some really good kids. We have like a couple really good. I mean, I got the best senior class, man. I was like, it was tough for me to go in the locker room after. I was just happy that we won. But, I mean, recruiting, too. Like, college recruiting for these kids?
Sure.
It's non-existent, like, because the coaches can't go scout these kids. So now you're going to rely on going to showcases during the offseason here to try to get yourself committed. It's brutal.
Terrible. It really is. All right, let's get our attention back to the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, and he signs that 4-year deal. He's locked in. 800-919-3776. Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys, was on ESPN Radio. He says Dak will be judged not on this division, per se, on how many wins he's able to get and what they can do in the postseason.
He's the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, $40 million a year, the $126 million guaranteed, a record $66 million signing bonus. Now it's winning, and winning the big game. And that's always what the Cowboys quarterback is judged on, from Roger Staubach to Troy Aikman. Remember, Danny White, three NFC title games, wasn't good enough. Tony Romo, a long successful run, wasn't good enough. Now Dak is going to be judged by Super Bowls. He's no longer that plucky fourth round pick.
All right. Well, if he's going to be judged by Super Bowls, if that's the ultimate deciding factor, then I think that Cowboys fans are going to be vastly disappointed.
Yeah, but isn't that the problem with – I know Chris is going to yell at me when I say this, because it's all about – I mean, it's all about the quarterback, most important position in sports. But the whole – I mean, the economics of the NFL are screwed up. Like, yeah, Cowboys fans will judge him on winning. But that's not – I mean, this quarterback – wait, what happens when Lamar Jackson's going to sign? When Josh Allen's going to sign? I don't know how the next – just the next guy up becomes the highest paid?
That's what it is now, though.
It seems ridiculous, though. Like, should it be on merit?
Well, I think that just speaks to the demand at the position, Rico. And it's a quarterback-starved league. There are never enough quality quarterbacks to go around. And if you got a guy that's in that top 8 to 10 range, then he's probably going to be the highest paid quarterback if he's available, just because that's what the market's going to dictate. Like, if any of these quarterbacks were to get to the open market, like, they would absolutely, you know, command the kind of money that we just saw Dak Prescott get paid. Like, if Lamar Jackson were a free agent, or if Josh Allen were a free agent, you don't think there'd be a team that's ready to sign up for them making $40 million a year on a long-term deal?
No, for sure.
They absolutely would be. So, I mean, I think that's what's driving this. It's dictated by market value, and NFL teams know that you really don't have a chance at sustainable success unless you have confidence in the guy that's under center. You have to have it.
This is why you need a salary cap. This is why owners need salary caps. Because you're right. The second one of those guys became, if Buffalo would have let Josh Allen go,
he'd get $45 million a year.
Oh, yeah. Would. I mean, it would be a bidding war.
I mean, for a guy who's, what, 24, 25 years old?
Yep.
After just watching the Rams and the Eagles make that same exact mistake and now dealing with it, they would be climbing on top of each other to try to sign those guys to huge deals. Humongous deals.
Yeah. It's all about the quarterback. And that's what's so concerning about the Giants. If you don't have the quarterback, you don't have anything. That's why it's such a huge offseason for the Jets. It's why you have concerns about the Giants. Because I don't know that Daniel Jones is the answer. I don't know that he's not, but I certainly don't know that he is.
Well, this year is going to be huge in determining that, right, Dave? Like, we were talking about it in our pre-show meeting. Like, the Giants have got to be able to put some weapons around Daniel Jones, if for no other reason to answer the question on whether or not he can do the job. I mean, similar to Jerry Jones when he made the trade for Amari Cooper, right? Because the question in Dallas was, is Dak Prescott a flash in the pan, or is he the long-term answer at quarterback? And then once he got Amari Cooper, he set the world on fire and was like, okay, check the box. Dak Prescott's our franchise guy. Like, they got to have something similar with Daniel Jones if they're going to continue this relationship after 2021. Which is why today is an important day, seeing what happens in Chicago with Allen Robinson, seeing what happens in Detroit with Kenny Golladay. Because the Giants have got to find a number one wide receiver for Daniel Jones. And I'm thinking that it's probably going to be a veteran guy more so than finding a guy in the draft.
Dave, let's just sort of my original point as far as the economics of the NFL are concerned. Okay. Tell me if this makes any sense to you. Now, I think, listen, I really like Dak Prescott because you can't, for me, put a price tag on what he brings leadership.
I don't know how you couldn't like Dak Prescott.
No, I love it. Listen,
yeah.
The guy, I mean, fourth round pick, takes over because Tony Romo gets hurt, then Kellen Moore gets hurt, and it was a seamless transition. And you saw this team fall apart last year without him. Like, he's the unquestioned, you know, leader in that locker room, which I have a lot of respect for. But just to put this in perspective as to what Dak Prescott just signed. So Dak Prescott, if he plays out all 4 years, if they don't decide after the third year to do an extension, he'll make $160 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how that compares to the first 4 years of Russell Wilson's current contract, it exceeds it by $29 million.
Mm-hmm.
The first 4 years of Aaron Rodgers' deal, $35.5 million. The first 4 years of former MVP Matt Ryan's current deal, $42.5 million. And as for the first year of Wentz's deal, $56 million, and Pat Mahomes, the first 4 years of Pat Mahomes' deal, Dak Prescott's payout will exceed Mahomes by $56 million.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an extension. Like, this is a brand new contract. Like, those other guys signed contract extensions, so you're rolling the final year or years in that contract into the new deal. With Dak Prescott, this is a brand new deal. Like, you're not talking about, I mean, it's, I mean, when you start talking about those other quarterbacks and those extensions, they're talking about new money average, but they forget to talk about the years that are included that are remaining on their current deals. But Dak Prescott, like, they avoided the franchise tag for a second time. This is a true four-year deal, and he's going to be making a boatload of cash in the first couple of years of that deal. So, again, as far as the structure goes and the overall money and the guarantees, Dak Prescott won this deal. Dak Prescott won this negotiation. And this was the only way, this was the only way it was going to go if they were going to get a long-term deal.
Well, and if he plays well, too, I think both sides won with how they structured it, because it's not killing your cap. And here's the other thing that, I mean, his agent did an awesome job, too. They're actually, to Chris's point about the franchise tag, they're actually making the Dallas Cowboys put the second tag on him before they make the deal official. So now he would be, now that he'd already have been tagged twice.
Yeah.
Which would make it virtually impossible for anyone. I mean, you're not going to tag him a third time.
No, there's no chance of that. But this deal's going to be done, and he's going to be there for 4 years, and then we'll see. But then he's going to sign another monster deal. He has dollar signs in his eyes right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
6:45, a little CMT. Which, by the way, my wife chimed in on the other day. She's like, you guys are doing it all wrong. There's supposed to be a cuddle, a marry, and a trash.
Yeah, we know that. We know.
Well, I'm just telling you, she's bothered by it.
Well, that's how it used to always be, is I would give you three, and you had to cuddle one, marry one, trash one. We've modified it.
Yeah. She told me, she's like, RJ's doing it all wrong. I was like, listen, this is what we've decided to do.
Yeah, but this is where we're at. I mean, it's still a great
segment. It's not a true cuddle, marry, trash is her point, though.
I'd like to get her on and do the with the guys that hit on her. I'd like to see who she would cuddle, marry, and trash.
Yeah?
I feel like that's a dangerous game to play, Rigo.
I'm hoping she'd go Clooney.
Oh, she's got to marry. I mean, you have to marry Clooney.
You got to marry Clooney.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly like, I mean, I'm marrying Oprah for sure. It's not even a question, like I said the other day. Just makes
I watched
too much
that
sense.
That interview yesterday, by the way.
I did, too. Cass and I watched it yesterday.
It's a little boring after a while.
Well, no, it's just, I mean, some of the stuff came out of that. I mean, it's just, like the whole, it's just, it's still, it actually, it makes me angry, though. Like, some of the stuff, like the whole, like, aren't you concerned? Like, are you concerned about what color the baby's going to be?
Yeah,
like,
the colorism stuff, yeah.
Like, what are
terrible.
We doing, man?
Yeah.
We're focused on that? Yeah, but what does that matter? The kid can't control that. You can't control it. You're going to choose to hate someone because something they can't control?
Welcome to this world, though, right?
Yeah, I was about to say.
I mean, we've been dealing with that for thousands of years.
You're talking about the country that invented the global slave trade. Are we?
No,
really?
I understand that, but I mean, haven't we come like, just think about how nonsense, like to a smart person, how nonsensical that sounds.
But people do it.
Choose to hate you for something that you have that you can't control at all.
But people do it, Rico. People it makes
sure
no
do.
Sense.
Ridiculous. They sure do. And they won't provide security for them? I mean, how ridiculous is that?
They cut him off. Cut him right off.
I feel sorry for him, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
You didn't watch that and kind of feel sorry for them? I mean, they didn't choose this life. They are put into a life where every single, or she, I guess, did. He didn't. He's a little boy. His mom dies in this horrific accident. He's turned out to be a pretty good guy. I do. I feel sorry for him. He didn't choose this.
Well, he chose to leave.
Right.
He chose to get out.
But I think he chose that to protect his family, right? Like, that's ultimately what it came down to. Like, he felt like he had to get them out of there because I think the way he put it was he was afraid of history repeating itself with his mom and how it could potentially be worse with the race element and social media being a big part of it. So, I mean, it sucks. The guy had to leave his home. He had to make the choice to leave his home to protect his family. Like, to have to be put in that position where you feel like that's the only way you can keep your wife and your kids safe, that's crazy.
I just can't believe they wouldn't get her help. Like, if that, I mean, she was obviously dealing with depression and everything else. I mean, she reached out for help. Like, no, we can't help you.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean you can't help her?
The whole thing is really, really wild.
Bizarre.
All right, so, 6:45 CMT, which is done incorrectly, but still 6:45 CMT. 7 o'clock, Mike Tenenbaum. 7:30, RJ's been doing some work. You know who's with us at 7:30 this morning?
Shefty, baby.
That's right. Adam Schefter, 7:30. That's big stuff.
Yeah, Schefter and I are finally back. We had, I mean, there was a couple years there where we were, I mean, just mortal enemies.
Well, why? What happened?
He
you make some like off-colored comment to him, and I don't think he took it well on the air. Do I remember that
no,
right?
No. No, that's most guests. I don't think that was Schefter. He big-timed me at sushi. There's a sushi place that we both really like.
You went over to him and you said hi, and he wanted nothing to do with you?
Yeah, he kind of just, he was a little bit standoffish. Like, just, come on, I'm Adam Schiff.
Had you met him prior to that?
Have I met him prior to that?
Like, did he know exactly who you were?
I had not met him prior to that, no.
All right, so let's think about this now. He's Adam Schefter. I'm sure he gets bombarded all the time. He is the biggest NFL insider in the world. He is a major celebrity. A guy that he doesn't know who he is, walks up to him while he's on his own time, and I don't know if I want to say accosts him, but, you know, wants to have conversation with him.
No, time out. This is, you know, all of a sudden you're like, I love how you consider me introducing myself to Adam Schefter in like the actual, you know, the restaurant accosting as opposed to you screaming Lawrence Taylor's name as he's peeing at a urinal.
Well, that was also accosting. Also, listen, don't bring
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Into what you did with Adam Schefter. It's obvious that you went too far because he was standoffish with you. He was on his home turf. He was picking up sushi for his family. You went up, and you probably were trying to be Joe Smooth. You're like, hey, host 10-1 on 98.7 with the guy. Nope. How you doing? And he was like, he didn't want any part of you. I can't blame him for that.
Well, no, I just thought 10-1. I mean, we've hit every single time slot too, except afternoon. I was like, we did 7-10, we do 10-1, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Just turn the dial on.
I don't know, Rico. I don't know about this one, man. Schefty is a genuinely good guy.
Listen, like, here's how it broke down. Is this sushi place is this is like me, this is my place. This is like I'm like Norm from Cheers at this place.
Okay.
So this is that, and I was just trying to be like, hey, and it didn't go how I planned it.
You know what would have gone over well? If you would have bought him the sushi. You bought these random kids yesterday full chicken parm dinner. Why didn't you extend the olive branch and buy Schefty a nice sushi dinner?
Oh, because those kids respect me. Schefty has no respect for me at all. Zero.
Maybe because he didn't.
You cannot take my pocket money.
I think he has not. I think he DM'd me. You know, we straightened it all out. So we're in a good place.
Is that true? He sent you a DM?
Yeah.
You idiot.
Did he apologize for his actions?
Yeah, he said he didn't even realize.
All right.
And he's like, anytime you want me to come on, I was like, how about tomorrow? He's like, nope.
Is that true?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Rico, what is it about face-to-face interactions with people in the football world,
That's
man?
That's great.
What is it, man? Todd Gurley, Adam Schefter?
Maybe Gurley, you were confrontational with Gurley.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I was a little bit banged up. I had one or two adult beverages. And I was trying to be, I thought I was trying to be nice, but I think I might have come off like I was being a bit of a dink. Notice got a little gimp there.
Should I not draft you in fantasy football? Schefter, I don't know that was your fault. Gurley was probably you.
No, I'll take 100%. Yeah, 100% of the blame for Gurley.
Anyhow, it's been years in the making. I guess we finally have gotten past the issues at the sushi restaurant. Adam Schefter, 7:30 this morning. Can't wait for that. All right, a lot going on. We'll probably keep him for an extended period of time. All right, let's get into the Giants. I don't know. I am so torn, Chris, on the Giants. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I think they're heading in the right direction. I'm not sure if they are. And the thing that I go back to, how are the Giants, with the quarterback on a rookie deal, up against the salary cap? It makes no sense to me. And people will defend Gettleman, and they're moving in the right direction. I guess they are, but I don't know. I have a lot of questions about this team still.
No, you got a lot of questions, and the Giants have a lot of big decisions that they've got to make ahead of the start of the new league year next week. I mean, you got to figure out what you're going to do with Nate Solder. He's got a $16.5 million cap hit for 2021. Kevin Zeitler, he's got a $14.5 million cap hit. So, I mean, those are two guys on the offensive line that you have to decide whether or not they're going to be a part of that group moving forward. And with the young guys playing so well, especially in the second half, I mean, odds are probably against both of those guys coming back with the Giants, so that'll give them some cap relief. But the biggest question that the Giants have is whether or not Daniel Jones is going to be your quarterback, because this is his third season, and we all know that first-round quarterbacks after their third year, you got to make a decision on the fifth-year option, and that usually is rolled into whether or not you want to give them a contract extension. So, I mean, this is a huge year for the Giants, and it's a huge year for Daniel Jones. It's the same conversation we had about Sam Darnold last year, about how big that third year was going to have to be for him in order to answer the question of whether or not he was going to be their quarterback moving forward. It's the same scenario for Daniel Jones. You just hope that the Giants put the infrastructure in place so you can get a definitive answer one way or the other.
Outside of quarterback, which is obviously the most important position in the sport, what would you say the second most important piece.
Someone that can get to the quarterback?
Well, that's obviously. I mean, that's. I don't even mean positionally. Because, oh. I mean, going into last season, you had
a lot
of questions.
I'm confused by the question.
Yeah, maybe I didn't word it right. But, I mean, going into last season, like under the circumstances, too, with, I mean, COVID, no OTAs, nothing, is our quarterback good? And I don't think we know that still, right?
We don't.
But the other one was, is Joe Judge a good coach? And clearly, I think Joe Judge is a good coach.
I agree with that.
I think.
I don't think you could be listening to the show right now and say anything to the contrary. Joe Judge is a good football coach.
Okay, and I think they outperformed. In my opinion, I think they outperformed our expectations last year.
Yes,
right.
I would agree with that.
The defense was a lot better than we thought it would be, and they're going to upgrade that. Obviously, they need
a
corner.
Offense stunk. Guys, the offense was horrendous last season.
The offense did stink, and it was going to take some time because it's a new system. But once, and it was a new offensive line, and we didn't cut them much slack, which is typical in New York. But once they started to get their bearings a little bit, and Jason Garrett understood what Daniel Jones could do well, which was be a threat running the ball, all of a sudden that offense started to come together.
Yes.
He could run the hell out of the football until he got hurt.
Yes.
So now it's the second year in the system. They're going to upgrade the wide receiver position. You're going to actually have Saquon Barkley back. We opened the show with, you know, Dallas and Dak Prescott, who's going to win the NFC East. Because this team is so well coached, I would put the Giants second behind the Cowboys right now.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, because you're not gonna have a repeat NFC East champion. It doesn't happen. It does not happen.
Mm.
I mean, last time that happened was 2004. So I'm gonna eliminate Washington because they don't have a quarterback and they're not gonna repeat.
You say they don't have a quarterback. That could change.
That could change. Yeah.
It's not gonna be Deshaun Watson.
Well, I don't think it needs to be Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that. Listen, as much as I want to believe in the Giants and believe in Joe Judge and what they're doing from a program building standpoint, I still have serious questions about the quarterback. And that offense, it's going to have to be a lot better, man. It really is. Like, there's no way that they can get away with being 31st in total offense and expect to be a playoff team. Like, that's just not going to happen. You know, so I just feel like with the Giants and where they're at right now, they got to be able to add some more firepower to this offense. They got to make sure that they feel solid about the offensive line moving forward. But they're going to have to rely on Daniel Jones making a huge leap from year two to year three. And a big part of that is going to be him cutting down on the turnovers, cutting down on the fumbles. We saw that in the second half of last year. But he's going to have to stay with that and prove that that's who he's going to be moving forward. If you do that, then the Giants have a chance. But, I mean, they've got to make some strides on the offensive side of the ball.
The weird thing is, and I really do believe this, I think you could get to the end of this coming season and look at Daniel Jones and the Giants offense and say, boy, he's going to be the quarterback here for a decade and you're in pretty good hands and he's the guy you want to hand the keys to the car over to. And I think there's a pretty good chance that you get to the end of the season, you say, we don't have a quarterback, and we need a quarterback. And I truly have no idea what direction it's going to go in. And that's scary to be heading into year three, having no idea.
Yeah, but if that's your conclusion, I mean, that has to be with no excuses attached to it. You can't put yourself in the same position the Jets are in.
No.
Like Sam Darnold has
been
bad.
That's why you need to solve problems this offseason offensively.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be one of their priorities. Depending on what happens with Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay, I think it probably should be a veteran guy because those guys can have immediate impact.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they can't get one of those guys because they're franchise tagged, I mean, you see all the mock drafts. They got Jalen Waddle, you know, as the Giants' first-round pick. So, but that, I mean, that is, and even Saquon Barkley. What are you going to do with him?
I have to imagine that you're going to sign him to a long-term deal, which I don't love, but I mean, what are you going to do?
Fifth-year option.
And he's remotely healthy. How can you not sign him? He's almost the face of the franchise. You drafted him to be the face of the franchise. He's exactly the kind of kid that you want on this team. You think they won't pay him?
He's coming off an
fifth
ACL.
Fifth-year option. I make him prove it 2 years in a row, and then I decide I'm going to pay him. Like, I try to get, you know, I try to squeeze every ounce of good football out of him on that rookie deal, and then we'll go from there. Because he's a running back, man. I mean, as great as he is, I know the Giants took him at the second overall pick. There's no reason, there's no incentive for them to pay him early. Like, why would you do the same thing that the Dallas Cowboys did and make that mistake that they made with Ezekiel Elliott?
It
makes no sense. So, I mean, as far as Saquon is concerned, you exercise the fifth-year option this offseason and you go forward from there. But, I mean, the biggest question that the Giants have to answer is Daniel Jones. And we've been talking about it. Like, he's got to prove that he's the quarterback. A big part of that is cutting down on all the mistakes, all the turnovers, and continuing to build on what they did on the offensive side and that identity, being able to use the read zones, that kind of thing. If they can do that, you can feel solid about it. But that's also got to result in some wins. There's got to be something tangible about it. It can't just be another one of those ho-hum seasons when you got 5 or 6 wins. You're going to have to be in playoff contention at the end of the regular season.
I'd almost say playoffs. I don't know if that's too much, but I mean, it's been years of rebuilding this thing now. It's going to be another, you know, top 11 pick. You got the quarterback entering year 3. You got to figure you're going to add weapons around him. They have to do that. How can you have another team in the postseason in each conference now? I think you got to get to the postseason this season. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, DTR. How you guys doing?
Good.
So really quick, I love this Dak Prescott deal as a Giants fan. I think they messed up and didn't get this deal done, which they should have last year or even the year prior. And it's just going to snowball into negativity, I think, in the next coming years. I think Dak is an exceptional quarterback, but I think he's in that 7 to 15 range. I don't think he's a top 5 quarterback or whatever. So I like the deal for the as a Giants fan, but I completely agree with you guys.
Why? I agree with you that he's not top 5. I'm not going to go 15 either. I'll say 7 to 10. But what do you like about this deal from the Giants standpoint?
Well, personally, I think having all that money allotted to him with how horrible that defense played last year and how they have all the money stacked up, you know, it just doesn't seem like they're going to have a lot of wiggle room. And personally, when I look at Dallas, I don't see Dallas as one player or one position away from making a Super Bowl run. I see that team as an under 500 team right now needing to make a lot of moves.
Yeah, but Cullen, they just freed up $15 million by signing this deal. I mean, he's not counting $40 million against your cap this year.
Aren't they still technically over the cap as of right now, even with freeing that $15 million?
No,
they're
not
at,
over
Chris?
The cap.
What's their number at?
I think they're at $25 million in cap space.
And we're not even sure what the cap is going to be. They haven't even set the cap yet. 180 is the floor of the cap.
Yeah, that's just the projection right now where they're at. They're projecting that they have $25 million in cap space.
So depending on how much money comes in with these new TV deals, they could make the decision to now all of a sudden to inflate the cap this year. So rather be 180, they could push it up. But that decision hasn't been made yet.
But they do need to fix their defense. Their defense was an abomination last season. All-time bad last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you're talking, like, what other choice did they have? I mean, Jerry Jones is not going to say, you know what, this defense really stinks. You know what we should do? Let's break this thing down. Let's franchise Dak and trade him and get a bunch of draft picks and start fresh. It's not what he's going to do.
Of course it's not. It's not what he should do. Listen, offensively, they're a good football team. Defensively, they stink, and I think you have questions about McCarthy. I think there are definite questions about the Cowboys. Could they win the division?
Okay, but time out. But here's the other thing, though, too. This pisses me off, too.
Uh-oh.
And you fall right into this trap, too. Like, just because Tampa, somehow, some way, I still don't understand how they did it. I mean, Tom Brady's that great. They have, you know, no preseason games, no OTAs. It's a brand new system and everything else. They got a bunch of players, new, you know, jumping in, Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, and they win a Super Bowl. That's not supposed to happen. This is a new coaching staff.
What trap do I fall into?
Well, listen, because this is a new coaching staff, a new system.
Stop it.
The defense is learning a completely new system.
They were the worst defense we've seen in the last 40 years in the NFL. You shouldn't be that. They were horrendous.
You don't think that Dak Prescott snapping his leg in half had a negative effect on their defense?
Yes, but their defense was hideous through those games.
I would be willing to guarantee the defense would be better next year.
Well, it can't be worse.
That's why I'm guaranteeing it.
You're not going out on much of a limb there.
Well, I didn't say I was going on a limb. I was just saying I was making a guarantee.
Yes, the defense, I would agree, will be better. They'll win the division? I don't know. I think it's
wide open, though. But it's wide open. This is not the time to. This would not be the time to all of a sudden say, I want to rebuild when you look at the landscape of the division.
This division is you can absolutely win it. I mean, you look around the NFL, this could be the worst division in football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there'd be no reason to rebuild. You can go get it.
Yeah, so I mean, how can you criticize the deal? Both sides winning the deal.
I didn't.
Well, no, Combs, I mean, Combs acting like the $40 million is going against their salary cap this year. It's not.
No, it does not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.